will be Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Genesis 4:1-6. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Good to be here with you all. My name is Pastor Tim. I'm a pastor here for our EM church. I'm grateful that you're here with us on the first Sunday of 2024, and this thing is dropping on me, but hopefully it stays with me. Oh, yeah. Okay, before we go, can we pray? Would you bow your heads with me once again? And let's ask the Lord to open our eyes and open our hearts to worship him through this time. Sermon preaching sometimes feels like lecture time or stuff like that. Like, hey, one guy talking to you, but it's really a part of worship. We're exalting the name of God. We're praising him through the preaching and the proclamation of the word. So let's pray together. Gracious God, we give praise to you. We bow our heads once again. We ask you that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may enlighten our hearts and soul and our eyes and our hands so that we may receive it, understand it, and be able to live out the very truth in our very own lives. Lord, be with us this time as we sit here under your word. Hide your servant's weaknesses and shortcomings behind your cross, and may your people truly just see your name and you alone, God. So at this time, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of your hearts, of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, a rock and a redeemer, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometime towards the end of last year, I was just praying and planning for this year, for sermon and teaching and just events in general. And as I was preparing, if you know me personally, I'm more of a planner. And something about a planner like me, not all planners like this, but me, my personality is a little stiff. So when I'm set on my plans, I don't like changes. So my plan initially was to go back to Ephesians series, which I started when I first came here. But then as the Lord stirred in my heart, what do my people listen right now in the beginning of the year? And that, as much as a humbling voice from the Lord, it was a reminder for me that, okay, this congregation is not my people. It's actually God's people. Amen? And God wants something for us to begin with in the beginning of this year. And I just sat in prayer and observed where we are in ministry, what are the needs for us individually, but also for us as a church. And what led to the conclusion was a new short series. Just will take about 5 weeks, and what I call the THMC Resolved. It sounds corny, I'm sorry. I did my best. THMC Resolved, A Journey of Faithful Living. So for the next 5 weeks or so, I would like to take us to some places in Scripture to ponder and pray together what we need, what we as THMC EM need to be resolved to do in 2024 for the faithful living in the presence of God. So it'll take, let me see if I have that. If not, I have a basic outline for us. Oh, anyways, if I don't have it, this week I'm going to be talking about worship. Next week I'm going to be talking about fellowship. So I'm going to call it Resolve to Worship Today, Resolve to Gather, and Resolve to Scatter, and Resolve to Give, and resolve to sit under the word of God. So based on where we are in ministry and based on my speaking with you individuals and also praying for you, this is what we're going to be talking about for the next 5 weeks or so. And today, as I share with you, I'm going to start us off with the topic of worship. And it was really surprising and encouraging when our worship leader was just keep reminding us during our praise time of where are you as you praise? Where are you as you worship the Lord? Right? Are we just going through this time? Are we trying to just get it done? Or are we actually here pouring our hearts to the Lord as he has given himself to us? Right? And it's just a reminder for us that as we begin this year, we want to start with worship. Amen? Our life is about that. That's what we're created for. Right? A.W. Tozer, a great theologian, once said, we're made to worship. Nothing else. We're made to worship. So just to begin with, many of us already know the story that Eliza read for us. It's a story about Cain and Abel, or Abel and Cain. Two brothers, they each offer their sacrifice individually, and one of them, Cain's, God rejected. And Abel's worship, God took it. God received it, and he delighted in it. And why? What's the difference? What happened that God rejected Cain's worship, but God received Abel's worship? In Hebrews 4, it says, Abel offered to God a more acceptable, isn't that interesting? It says, a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. He offered more acceptable sacrifice. And now as we're beginning, and we already felt it already, but worship is a topic that's relevant for all Christians, right? Why? Because we're worshiping right now. We worship every day. We're not just called to worship and praise and pray and read scripture and learn and grow as worshipers within the walls of the church, but we're actually called to worship the Lord every day in our lives, right? At your work. If you're an employee, your relationship with your boss. If you're an employer, if you're a boss, then with your employees, people who work for you. If you're students, where you are at school. If you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're single, wherever you are, we're called to worship the Lord in where we are. So it's a daunting reality to think that there's a kind of worship God delights to receive, as opposed to there's a kind of worship God rejects. And we want to think about that. And while this sermon is certainly, I believe, because it's the text, Word of God, covers every part of our lives, it's going to cover our every general lives, but in my sermon, I'm going to limit it to our corporate worship. We want to begin our year emphasizing the importance of corporate worship. Why is it? You know, sometimes we say, hey, Sunday worship is a reflection of your past 6 days. If you walk with God, you're going to be worshiping God on Sunday. As much as that's true, this is also a starting place, right? If we can't worship God here in the church, we're not going to be able to worship God there, outside, at work, at family, in whatever challenging situations we face, right? So we want to start here, and I want to emphasize corporate worship. So how should we approach worship? How can we grow as worshipers of God? And I would like for us to ask 3 questions in our time. And the first to begin with is, what should we bring to God? What should we bring to him in worship? And the second is, how should we prepare for worship? And third is, how can we continue to worship faithfully in our lives, right? Because we're not just here in the beginning of the month, at the beginning of this year, and like, okay, I'm going to be pouring out my heart to God in worship, and then in February, I'm going to stop, right? No, our desire is to worship God faithfully for the rest of our lives until we are with him. Amen? So that's what I'd like to consider for us in our time. So let's begin with the first one. What should we bring to God in worship? What should we bring to him? Well, that's the question. What did Abel bring to God in his worship? You know, Genesis 4 tells us that Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer, right? In due time, they both earned profits and they offer sacrifices to God. And now if you remember, if you have familiarity with the Old Testament law, you might say, oh, Cain was supposed to offer animal sacrifice. That's why God rejected it, right? But Abel and Cain were way before the Leviticus or Deuteronomy or any kind of Mosaic law. There was no law at this time. This is a beginning of time, right after Adam and Eve, right? So how could he possibly know? He was actually before the time of the law, right? There was no law. But see, think about it. There was no law and regulations in terms of how to worship, but Abel and Cain both had something more tangible and more powerful, that something that reminded them of how to worship. It wasn't a written statement on the stone. It was their parents who experienced how to worship and learn directly from God in their failures and how, in the way that how they were reconciled with God. Remember in Genesis 3, after they disobeyed God and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened after they ate it? Genesis 3 says, then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they saw fig leaves together and make themselves loincloths, right? And the Bible says as soon as they ate the fruit, they realized, oh, we were naked, right? And then they made themselves clothes to wear. But then think about it. I'm taking you a shortcut and taking you a spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, what happened was that this is a consequence of sin. They disobey God, and their eyes are open in the way that they realize this is not right, this is wrong, in their own decision, in their own understanding. This is not right. But that's not how God created them. Naked is okay. There's nothing wrong with it, right? But when they realized, when they became their own king, functioned their own understanding, they realized this is not right. So they covered themselves. And spiritually, they had to cover themselves. They had to hide themselves, not only from one another, but also from God. Isn't that what happens in our lives, right? We're a lot of times fugitives. We hide from one another. As much as we'd like to share 100% of ourselves to one another, if you know 100% of me, you're not going to sit here. If I know 100% of you, you might not. I might not be. I don't know, right? We're not good at opening up to one another. That's the consequence of sin. But their nakedness, you see, wouldn't be covered by fig leaves, right? That's not working. So God made clothes for them. Genesis 3:21, it says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Right? God made garments of what? It says of skins, right? Of animal skins, skins of animals. The shame of their nakedness wouldn't be covered with clothes made out of fig leaves, but it would be covered by animal skins. What does that tell us? The shame and guilt of their sin wouldn't be covered with anything but blood. Right? And as parents, Adam and Eve experienced that to begin with, and what they had done is they taught their children, when we sinned against God, when we wanted to come to God, what happened is that God shed blood of animal so that we could approach him, so that we can come to him. And they learned that growing up, right? They learned that. And see, this same principle becomes a pattern throughout the Bible, and when we get to the New Testament, this is what we get. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. You can't worship God where there is no blood. There is blood in our worship. Always there needs to be blood shedding involved in our worship. And notice that in Genesis 4, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, right? What Cain brought to worship, right? Again, this was Cain's profession. He was a farmer, right? He probably gave so much effort. He probably sweated a lot. And then he probably worked to a point that he, you know, felt like he was shedding blood for himself. And he probably loved the fruit and looked precious and satisfying. And probably was good fruit too, right? But the problem was there was no shedding of blood. But look what Abel brought to God. Verse 4, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, right? You know, Cain might argue, God, but I spent far more time than Abel. What did he do? Would you shepherd them, right? Just flock them? What I did is I raised them, right? I literally raised these fruits. I spent 6 months or whole entire year to make this fruit. I spent far more time. I put far more efforts into worship. That may be true, right? We know how farmers work hard. And maybe that's why Cain was angry when God denied his sacrifice. But here's a lesson we draw from Abel and Cain's worship, my friends. Is that proper and acceptable worship is not all about how much effort we put into. Proper and acceptable worship to God is not about what I do, what I did in order to get here. It makes difference. If you spend more time here praying before the service, it will make a difference in your heart. But that's not all about it. What's most important is to bring what God wants as he reveals his will in his word over your standards, over your experiences, and over your preferences. God wants certain ways of worship, not just the way that I want it. Cain felt like, oh, God, I brought this. You know how much effort I put into? This is good enough stuff. You got to take it. God is saying, yeah, I know your efforts, but that's not what I want. What I want is a shedding of blood. Right? It's not enough to say, God, I put enough efforts to worship. I spent some amount of time on praise. Or people like me might say, I spent 20 hours or 25 hours on just sermon prep. I'm going to Wednesday meeting. I'm going to this meeting. I'm going to read Bible together and fellowship and show up on time and read the Bible every day. I do devos. That's not enough. It's not because it's really not enough. It's because that's not exactly what God is asking for. Cain's worship was filled with pride and self-righteousness. This is what I have. This is what you get, God. That's what Cain brought to worship. So you see the underneath what's going on? On the surface, it might seem like, yeah, Cain did a lot for worship. No, but in the underneath what we see is a self-righteousness. This is enough. This is enough. But Abel brought what God wanted. You see, what we see here is that God needs to be the head and center of our worship. Amen? And then what does it tell us about shedding of blood? Is that when we approach worship, what's more important, what's most important, is not what I do, but is what Christ has done. Are we coming here to worship by faith, or are we coming here to make ourselves feel better? Are we here on the basis of what I did, right or wrong, or are we here on the basis of what Christ did for me? That makes a difference, and that's how God wants from our worship. Come in the name of Jesus, amen? Come to this place, worship him in the name of Jesus. May God be the head, a center of our worship. We're not. We are not the center. We're not here to become the better version of ourselves. We're not here to feel better about ourselves, but we are here to worship and encounter the holiest God in whom our soul may find it comfort, may find it the rest in him. But those are byproducts. We're here solely to worship him. Right? That's the first purpose of worship, why we're here. Right? Then, okay, we know that we are to bring our faith to God, where we come in the basis of what Christ has done. Okay, then how should we prepare for worship? For this point, this might sound elementary a little bit, but I wanted to be practical for you. You know, a while back, my dad, my parents, by the way, all my family is in Korea. So one time, a while back, my dad was invited to Blue House, which is, it's a White House version of Korean government, and he was invited to meet the president of Korea, and guess how he prepared for that meeting? He didn't just wake up in the morning and then just, you know, kind of shower and then just put on whatever and then sandals and he just took a train and to meet him. No, he picked the suit he wanted to wear. Which one's better? Which one? I never seen him just hanging all the suits out there. They look the same, right? But then he just put them all there. And then all the rest of us, the four families sitting there and watching it, which one's better? Right? Tell me. What about Thai? Which is good. and then shoes, right? Okay, might be a little bit corny, but if God is calling us someone who's more holy and powerful than the president of Korea, how are we to prepare ourselves for worship, right? And I just want to be practical. There's three things I want to share with you is that prioritize worship, plan for worship, and pour out your heart in worship. So first thing to begin with, prioritize worship. Prioritize worship. This is about our attitude in worship. See, Cain did bring the fruit, right? But you think about it, he was indifferent about what kind of offering he gives, right? Remember, I don't know if I have that, what he did was, you know, passage says, Abel brought the firstborn of the flock and the fat portions of the flock, right? Versus Cain, what he brought was he brought some of the fruit from the ground, which means he just went there and looked at it. All right, that, take that, and then I'll take that, and then he just brought it. These are all good, God. Just take it. Right? This is what I do. This is what you do. Right? But he was indifferent about his offering as if giving and as if showing up at service itself is enough. I'm here. I'm giving. What else do you want me to do? Right? That's the kind of mentality sometimes we have that as Christians. I'm here on Sunday. I'm here on Wednesday. I did the devo. I read the Bible. What else do you want me to do? But we know that we may be present physically in worship. We may do Christian-y things. But we all know that we may be completely absent in worship and the things that we do as Christians, right? See, but what Abel did is he brought the firstborn. He prioritized worship. He selected a specific sacrifice and he presented it to God. See, the biggest difference between Abel and Cain's worship is not the value of their offering. The biggest difference is the heart of the offering, right? Time, right? My heart, my faith. It certainly started with who is the center of worship. If I am the center, if I am the one who's to judge how worship goes and how I feel, how God gets glorified, then yeah, this is good enough. I'm here. But if God is the center, we will go beyond and above. Above and beyond, right? That takes us to second. To prioritize God, you and I need to plan ahead of time for worship, right? You know, our worship may start on Sunday, 12:30, but our worship really, maybe something to think about is that maybe our worship needs to start Saturday night rather than Sunday morning, rather than 30 minutes before worship. There's nothing wrong with it, but maybe if that doesn't wake you up, if that doesn't really set you for worship, maybe you need to consider, maybe my worship starts Saturday night instead of Sunday morning. You know, for many Jews, you know, how they take Sabbath. For this, taking the Sabbath for the Jews, it's worship for them. And then for their Sabbath, it starts on Saturday. But for most Jews, it usually starts Friday night. They close their stores, they close their business, and not close, they just go home and with family, spend time with family, and they relax, they rest up, so that when they wake up on Saturday morning, they actually are already ready because they already start worshiping a night before. Right? How we plan for worship reveals how we prioritize worship. You know, Kevin DeYoung, one of my favorite authors, he said, is Sunday my day of climax or is it a day of collapse? You know, sometimes we feel dreadful. We just dread it on Sundays. Just waking up, oh, gosh, Monday is coming up. I gotta go to work. If that just give you a reminder, I'm sorry about that, right? And sometimes I hate Sunday. I don't hate church. I just hate Sunday because next day is Monday. Sometimes we are stuck in that mentality that when we're here, all we think about is, okay, how am I gonna play? How am I gonna rest effectively for the rest of the day? Sometimes I thought about that too, right? But we really need to plan ahead. How am I going to worship? I am not going to waste this time. I'm here. I'm going to give my heart to God. How? Some of you might not have heard this from anyone after you become a parent or become an adult, but sometimes it's a good reminder that maybe we need to sleep a little bit early. Maybe we need to wake up a little bit early, right? It's a good reminder for us. Plan ahead of time for worship. And third thing is that we need to pour out our hearts to God in worship when we're here. You know, when I think about worship, I love the incident in Mark 12:41, where Jesus was sitting across from the treasury, and he saw the rich people just casually walking by, and they just drop a good sum of money in the offering, throw it in there, hey, I did it, and then they walk by. And then Jesus kept looking, and there's this poor widow, right? Poor widow with two copper of coins. And then she came in, and she gave that to God. Turned out, the two coins was all that she had, and she gave it in there. By the way, for your information, two small copper coins were barely worth anything. Right? Total sum was probably less than a penny. It was barely money at all. Right? But she gave that. And you know what we see? As Jesus said, I love her worship. I took that worship. Not the casual kind of worship where I walk by and I say, like, I have time, I have energy today, I'll just come in and I'll just do it. As opposed to, this is all I have. And God, I'm here and I'm going to give my heart to you. And God delights in that worship. Why am I saying this? Because when I say pour out your worship, you might think that, okay, I got to be excellent on Sunday. I got to have all the energy. I got to take care of my life. And then I'm showing up. No, that's not what it is. Because sometimes, no matter how intentional you are for worship and how much effort you put into to prepare for worship, sometimes all you bring to this place is just an exhausting, tired, stressed soul. Have you ever been there? Or you're here, but all you're thinking about is, oh man, what am I going to do with my parents or my work and my relationships? It's not going great. That's all you get. That's all you bring here. But you know what? Even then, God will and can be honored by your worship. Even in that condition, even when you feel like your heart is torn in part and you're distracted the whole time, you can't really listen to a sermon. Right now, this guy is almost screaming right now. You might think, like, I don't know what he's saying. I'm not getting anything. That may be there, and God still can be honored by your worship. You know why? Because if that's all you have, and you bring yourself to him, and you pour yourself to him, Lord, here I am. My stressed, my tired body and soul I bring here. Lord, take me as a living sacrifice. And Lord, I worship you. And he will be honored because he already showed us to that. Two small copper coins, barely anything. Why would Jesus take that? Because what Jesus is looking for is not money, is not excellency. What he's looking for is your heart. Amen? He wants your heart. He wants our heart. You may have worries and doubts this time, my friends. You may have brought your concerns to this place. Bring it to him. Lay to God. I think somewhere along the way in our Christian walk, we have heard this. Hey, when you come to church, leave your baggage outside of the worship service and come in here, worship God, and then take that, go home, right? No, that's not it is. That's not what it is. Bring all the baggages to him. Lay at the feet of Jesus and walk with him. And he will walk with you. Amen? Bring your heart to him and he will be your refuge. So King David, he was singing this. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge. May God be the place where we run to in times of discouragement, in times of worries and anxieties and fears and uncertainties. May him be the mountain we come to and run to. Amen. So prioritize, plan, and pour out your heart And last one, it's going to be shorter, is that how can we continue to worship God? Okay, obviously, like I said, we're not trying to just focus on worship in the beginning of this year. We're trying to do it for the rest of our lives. How can we focus? How can we faithfully worship Him throughout this year in our lives? You see, there will be times when worship doesn't feel glorious at all. There will be some Sundays when we come here, worship doesn't feel relevant at all, depending on our situations and our problems. And this is a true thing that we get in the modern times. Many Christians think that worship service is a bit of a waste of time because we're not learning anything new, right? We're not getting any money for our time. If anything, we're giving money to God, right? So this is a bit of a waste of time in many, a good number of Christians' minds, right? But you see that God received Abel's worship, but Abel didn't have much glory in his life. What I'm saying is, it's going to be Abel's life shares the same kind of the complexities and problems that we face in worship. Sometimes worship doesn't feel relevant, doesn't feel glorious at all. Sometimes you feel like, what happened? I just went through the whole entire worship service without feeling and thinking anything. There will be times like that. And see, Abel worshiped God. God received him. See what happened? Abel had a successful career. Abel died. He was killed right after. Literally right after. A day after. Right? And by his own brother. There's no story of Abel other than Genesis 4. That's it. This is the rest of his story. But note in Hebrews 11:4, did I turn this off? Oh yeah. It says, through faith, though he died, he still speaks. He died, but he still speaks. See, early Christians at the time of Hebrews, they may have regarded Abel as an unfortunate man in the history of God's people because they were under persecutions. The Hebrews were going through severe persecutions. They might have felt discouraged, and seeing Abel's life may think that, like, it's going to be like that for us. We're going to have the same unfortunate life together. In the face of life's challenges, we may lose heart in life. Again, worship may feel glorious or relevant at all in our lives, depending on where we are. We may feel overwhelmed. We may feel discouraged in worship. It's possible. We've all been there, have we? Being in worship service can discourage you because you don't feel like it's relevant to you. What is it going to do to my business? What is it going to do to my relationship? But Abel's example of worship still speaks to us, and it also points us something greater, which gives us a completion of comfort because Abel's story, his example, points us to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. See, Abel was killed. Jesus was killed as well. Abel was innocent, but not as innocent. He was still a sinner. Jesus was killed, and he was completely innocent. Abel had been forgiven of sins. Jesus had no sin in himself. Christ was killed as well, but he not only speaks to us through his example, but he speaks to us through his death and resurrection. So that in Christ, all sinners, including you and myself, we may be commended as righteous. So that when we come to God in worship by faith on the basis of what Christ has done, we may never run out of reasons to pray and praise and worship. When we come in the basis of what he did, we'll always have reasons. We'll always find even the relevancy of worship. You know why? Because in the lowest place, he died for us and he rose again so that when we come to him, even in the driest season of our lives, even when we bring the driest soul, he will lift us because he died so that we can be healed. He was crushed so that we can be healed and restored and reconciled to our God. And that's my prayer for us. May we give a more acceptable worship to God by faith in Christ as a church in 2024. May we restore the heart and posture of worship. If you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you're worried, bring it to God. Lord, here I am. And take me as a living sacrifice. And may your name be glorified. And may we strive to worship our God as a church. Amen. Can we pray together? And as praise team will come up and lead us, I just want to invite you this time just to talk to God. If there's any portion in the message that God sort of struck your heart, maybe that's the part that you need to bring it to God, right? And if you're challenged and encouraged and motivated to worship, okay, I'm going to devote myself to worship him, bless you, and bring it to him, right? And right now, just this time, use this time to just praise him. God, I praise you. God, I worship you. God, I thank you. Even when I don't see that my life may not be going great and the things I hoped and wished, I don't really have that in my hands, but I still thank you. But if there's any of you feeling rather more discouraged, yeah, I've been there, I've tried there, I've said that prayer, and you know, worship doesn't feel relevant to me right now. This is not a time to beat yourself up that I'm not a good Christian. This is a time to bring your heart to him. And that's worship. It's okay you missed the entire sermon. It's okay you disagreed on the entire point of the sermon. That's not the point. The point is God drawing you closer to him. You going closer to him. Lord, here's my heart. Take my heart, Lord. So bring your heart. Bless him. Give your heart to him.